Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about the weather. Now, the weather in Europe is a really critical factor in terms of how much gas and oil European countries are using through the course of the winter months. And as you'll know if you've been following the channel, one of the issues facing Europe was that prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a lot of countries had built up a huge dependency on Russian natural gas, which was supplied by pipelines and was being used by a lot of countries, firstly, to produce electricity, and secondly, it's supplied directly to a lot of consumers for heating and cooking. And over the course of the last 10 months of 2022, we saw a scramble amongst all of these European countries to try to fill their gas storage levels in anticipation of the increases in demand that will be seen over the winter period. And the severity of the current winter will have a direct relationship to the amount of gas that's needed and will therefore have a direct impact onto the price of gas and the total cost for all of those countries, which of course will then affect the global economy, because as those countries have to spend more on energy, it's putting more pressure on their economies. And as you'll know, we're sitting on the precipice of a potential global recession in 2023. So in today's episode, we'll have a look at the dependency on Russian gas that still exists in Europe. We'll look at Russia's exports. We'll then have a look at what's been happening with temperatures in the first part of winter 2022-23 in Europe. We'll have a look at exactly where European countries are right now in terms of their gas storage levels. We'll look at what's been happening with gas prices and oil prices, because oil products are also used for heating all across Europe. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summaries to what I think the implications of the current temperatures and the forecast temperatures for the rest of the winter are for the Russian economy, the European economy, and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And once again, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I genuinely appreciate it. As I mentioned at the start of the video, Europe is highly dependent on natural gas for generating electricity, heating, and transport. This chart shows the breakdown of where Europe derived its energy from in 2021. And you can see that the biggest single source was natural gas, representing 34% of all energy used, followed by oil, which represented 31%, coal 11%, nuclear 10%, hydro 7%, wind 4%, solar 2%, and then a variety of other methods. And this chart shows the breakdown by country, and you can see that excluding Belarus and Russia, Italy was the biggest user of natural gas, representing more than 40% of all energy used, closely followed by the United Kingdom, Hungary, the Netherlands, Lithuania, Ireland, Romania, Croatia, Latvia, Ukraine, Slovakia, and Germany. And whilst Germany is not at the top of this list, its usage still represented around 30% of all Germany's energy requirements. And one of the problems Germany faced, along with Italy, is that they were importing a lot of that natural gas directly from Russia. This chart shows the percentage of natural gas that was being purchased directly from Russia by European countries prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And as you can see, historically, Germany was sourcing 49% of all of its requirements from Russia. Italy was sourcing 46%, Poland 40%, and France 24%. And this chart shows Europe's biggest buyers of Russian gas in terms of billions of cubic meters in 2021. And as you can see, Germany was by far the largest purchaser, purchasing over 56 billion cubic meters. Italy was the second largest at 29 billion cubic meters, followed by the Netherlands, France, Poland, Hungary, Spain, and Belgium. So the combination of the facts that a lot of countries, including Italy and Germany, were highly dependent on natural gas for their energy requirements, and the fact that they were importing such a large amount directly from Russia, became a massive problem following Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the implementation of all of the sanctions by the EU countries against Russia. And this led to major concerns about whether or not all of the countries in Europe would actually have enough gas to be able to get through the winter period, or if we would see rationing and shortages. Now, before we go on any further today, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN. and to let you know about the huge discount that they're currently offering, whereby you can get a 3-year subscription for only $1.99 per month. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by more than 6 million people worldwide. So it's great news that it protects you from hacking and tracking and data breaches. But what's also amazing news is that it can save you money and open up a whole new world of entertainment, because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for one subscription, and Atlas VPN is currently offering an amazing 3-year deal whereby you can get full protection for only $1.99 per month, including an entirely no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. So to purchase this exclusive Joe Bloggs offer, please click in the description below. Now, on the flip side of this equation, the export of natural gas is an important source of revenue for Russia. And historically, they have earned large amounts of money. That's why they built the pipelines to be able to supply all of the European countries to monetize all of the gas that they have under the ground. This chart shows the total revenues earned by Gazprom from the sale of natural gas between 2016 and 2021. And as you can see, in 2021, total revenues equated to over 5.6 trillion Russian rubles, which represented an increase of over 86% compared with the level for 2020. However, that year was heavily impacted by the COVID-19 pandemics, when a lot of countries went into lockdown and demand for energy products fell. Now, the exchange rates in 2021 did vary, but if we take an average rate currently of around 60 rubles to one US dollar, 5.6 trillion Russian rubles equates to around $94 billion in revenue for Russia. And this chart shows a breakdown of the largest buyers of Russian gas in 2021. And as you can see, Germany was by far the largest, buying almost 24% of all gas. Turkey bought around 13%. Belarus 10%, Denmark 9%, France just under 6%, Poland 5%, Kazakhstan purchased just under 5%, Austria around 4%. And then interestingly, China's purchases of Russian gas equated to only 3.5% of the total exports from Russia. So there's been a lot of talk about China taking up all of the slack, being able to buy all of the excess gas that Russia will no longer be selling to Europe as a result of the sanctions. However, when you look at the actual amount of gas that China purchased from Russia in 2021, it was minuscule, very, very small. And in order to increase the volume of pipeline gas exported to China, Russia would need to build more pipelines, because the current pipelines are operating towards their capacity. And this chart shows the total amount of gas exported to Europe and China, dating back to 2000. And includes 10.5 months through to November the 15th in 2022. And what this chart shows is that there were year-on-year increases through to 2008, when we had the global financial crisis and one of the biggest recessions in world history. The volume of gas sales then dropped off for a few years. They started to pick up in 2013, and there was a slight fall in 2014 following Russia's invasion of Crimea. However, between 2014 and 2019, there was a considerable increase. 2020 was COVID affected, and 2021 figures started to pick up again. However, in the first 10.5 months of 2022, there was a considerable reduction. And if you follow the channel, you'll be fully aware of all of the supply issues that have been going on. Russia cut off the supplies to a variety of countries who refused to pay in rubles. Other countries voluntarily stopped buying gas from Russia. And then there were two explosions on the Nord Stream pipelines, which stopped all of the supply to Germany. One of the major concerns for Europe going into this winter period was that if we experienced a severe winter, that would mean an increase in demand for natural gas and oil products, which would increase the pressure on all of the economy's budgets, and also could potentially result in shortages, which could lead to blackouts and heating failures all across the continent. However, so far, the winter of 22-23 in Europe has proven to be one of the warmest on record. Globally, 2022 is the fifth warmest year on record. However, in Europe, it's proved to be a record-breaking year. This chart compares the average temperatures in 2022 against every year dating back to 1950. And the colour key at the bottom of this map shows that the darkest red relates to the warmest ever year, light red indicates the second warmest, orange the third warmest, yellow the fourth warmest, green the fifth warmest, and then we have grey representing other. And what this shows is that the vast majority of Europe experienced either their third, second, or hottest year on record. Italy, France, Spain, and the United Kingdom, amongst others, all experienced their hottest ever year. Germany, Austria, and Belgium all had their second warmest year ever, and the Netherlands had its third warmest year. And over the last couple of months in particular, Europe has experienced what's been called a warm wave, extremely high temperatures given the time of year. And the ski season at the moment in Europe has been decimated. There is virtually no snow. All of the ski resorts are desperately hoping for colder weather to bring some snow to be able to bring in all of the tourists. And this map shows the average air temperatures for Europe in December. And as you can see, the vast majority of mainland Europe is shown in orange here, which means that the temperatures are above zero. So the higher than average temperatures in Europe represent really good news in terms of the amount of energy that's been used so far this winter. And why this is important is because a lot of the European countries had been building up their gas storage. They'd been loading up all of their underground storage, hoping that they could get through the winter period. And the fact that they haven't used a lot of energy so far means that the storage facilities are still sitting at good levels. This map shows the natural gas storage levels as of the 14th of January in Europe. And as you can see, the EU as a whole is currently sitting 82.3% full in terms of its storage. And the LNG import terminals are sitting at 65%. Now, if we look at some specific countries, let's look at Germany first. Germany currently has 90.7% storage capacity. So this is an exceptionally high level for the middle of January. If we jump down to Italy, you can see that they have 80.4% storage. France is sitting at 80.9%. Spain has 93.7%. The United Kingdom, 80.6%. Poland is almost at 96%, which is incredible. So what we're seeing here are very high storage levels, which obviously is good news for these European countries because they can rely upon this storage, which is obviously very good news if we do experience cold weather in February and March. And as Germany is the largest economy in Europe and also was the biggest buyer of Russian gas, this chart shows the German gas storage levels for 2021, 2022 and 2023. So what this shows is that in 2022, the storage levels were significantly higher than they were in 2021, which was directly as a result of the concerted effort that Germany made to have enough gas in storage to get through the winter without buying any further gas from Russia. And if you look over at the far left-hand side of the chart, you can see that the current rate of around 90% is significantly higher than the historic rates for the last 2 years. In 2022, the storage was down to around 50%, and in 2021, it was sitting at around 70%. So Germany is currently in the best position it's been in terms of gas storage at any point in the last 3 years. This chart shows the movement in natural gas prices in Europe over the last 12 months. This time last year, 1 megawatt hour of gas was trading for around 80 euros. If you follow the channel, you'll be fully aware that following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, gas prices took off. And in late August, we're trading for almost 350 euros, which represented an increase of more than 400%. However, over the course of the last 6 months, we've seen gas prices starting to come down as the concerns over European supply started to fall and also the global economy started to slow down. But over the course of the last month or so, we've seen a significant fall. At the start of December, prices were trading for around 150 euros. So the price has come down by almost two-thirds over the course of the last month or so. And this chart shows what's been happening to the price of oil, which is important because a lot of oil-related products are used for heating through the winter months. This time last year, a barrel of crude oil was trading for around $83. The price took off following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. However, over the last 6 months, we have seen prices come back down, and the price is now trading for less than it was this time last year. So in terms of the cost of energy, the fall in natural gas and oil prices that we've seen over the course of the last 6 months are beneficial to Europe because they're buying in all these energy products. And as the price goes down, obviously that relieves the burden on their economies. But it's bad news when you look at it from Russia's perspective, because they're a major exporter of natural gas and oil. As the price comes down, then that's going to mean a reduction in revenue. And of course, this is a double whammy from Russia's perspective, because they're also seeing a fall in volumes as well as a fall in price. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the winter period was going to be the most critical for Europe. That was potentially the point where some European countries could either run out of fuel and have shortages and blackouts, or run out of money because they couldn't afford to keep buying in very expensive energy products. So the severity of the winter period in Europe was absolutely critical to the success of the European economy and also the global economy because, as I've said a million times before, we're all interconnected. So what happens in Europe has a big knock-on impact to the rest of the world. But the good news for Europe and the global economy is that the winter has been very mild indeed in a lot of countries. So the amount of gas and oil that's needed to be used so far is much lower than we would see in a normal year. So that means that we've still got high storage levels, and the price of oil and gas in the international markets has started to come down. So we're seeing some relief in terms of what's going on in Europe. This is the best case scenario that we could have hoped for. And that's good news for the global economy because it means that those European countries will probably not experience as bad a downturn as we were expecting. And that will be good news in terms of how much they're buying from the rest of the world. So therefore, global GDP shouldn't be as badly affected. Now, in terms of the implications of all of this from Russia's perspective, it's bad news. Russia was already experiencing a drop in revenues as a result of losing all of its sales to Europe. The pipeline gas has fallen dramatically, and it's also now experiencing a ban on seaborne export of oil that came in on the 5th of December, as well as the oil price cap that kicked in on the same date. So Russia was already seeing volume falls in its exports. But what's happened over the course of the last few months is that prices have also come down. So a fall in volume multiplied by a fall in price means that you've got significantly less revenue. So from Russia's point of view, the warm weather in Europe has really been the worst case scenario because it's reducing the prices and it's also easing the burden on all those European countries. President Putin was hoping that Germany and Italy and some of the big nations were really going to suffer through the winter period and regret the fact that they'd stopped buying all of their energy products from Russia. But actually what's happening is that all of these countries are surviving, they're getting through it, they've got enough gas in storage. It's giving everybody more time to put those LNG facilities in place to replace Russian gas permanently. So the warm weather's been really great news for Europe and the global economy, and really bad news for Russia. But of course, we're not through the winter period yet. We've still got a couple more months. The forecast is still good. It's still saying we're going to see more warm weather. So it's likely that Europe will have a good winter period and they'll come out of this stronger than we were expecting. And unfortunately for Russia, it looks like they'll be earning less revenue because prices are down in the international markets. But I'll keep you posted on what's going on with European weather and the purchase of energy products and prices over the course of the next couple of months. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video, you found it interesting and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me that thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.